Hello, everyone, and welcome. Hello, Sister Lauren.
Hello, Sister Dr. Stella.
So, as you know, this is another podcast, and welcome to Edge God In. This is podcast number 13, and it is all about feeding the flock. So before we begin, Sister Lauren, I want to start out with a prayer, and then we'll go into discussion on how to feed the flock for God's kingdom. So, Father God, I ask that you bless this Bible study by opening up our hearts and minds to learning what you have for us today. I also ask that you enrich our abilities to learn, digest, and apply, Lord, all that we learn in a way that creates change in our hearts and in our minds. We only know that with your guidance, and only your guidance, that when we ask, you will provide the knowledge needed to shepherd your flock toward the revelation of knowledge that you have for us and them. I thank you in advance for enriching our lives for in this time together to experience and learn more of you. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
So, Sister Lauren, this topic came to me, you know, with all the things that are going on in the world and have always gone on, actually, I really felt it's important that we understand how to feed the flock. And what does that mean? You know, the whole purpose of church is to do that. You know, feeding the flock is really all it means is a commitment to worshiping God. But when people think of worshiping, they always think of, okay, let's praise the Lord. And that's one way of worshiping him. But there's also other ways. It's a total active process, one that takes direct and personal experience with him. You know, it's a personal thing. It requires us being actively involved in the church and the works of the church. So, you know, and many times people think, okay, maybe I am in the church, but I'm not really active in the church. Well, that's the time of reflection to think, what is it that you can actively do to help educate and feed the flock of Jesus Christ? So this Bible study is all about how to do that. So what does God say about feeding the flock? Well, in 1 Peter 5:2, God says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. That speaks volumes to how we should act on feeding the flock. And I'll bring you into discussion, Lauren, because I think this is so important, this one scripture, for us to take time on it. It should be voluntary that we want to do that. You know, I love when I go to church and I hear people call and the pastor calls us. There's some ministers in the church. What do you want to do? We're asking, we need this, we need this. There should be this eagerness to jump at doing things in the church and even outside the church. Many of us have great ministries outside the church that we could be involved in, but we don't take the active time or the active movement in response to do it. He also says, don't do it for gain. Many times people brag and are braggadocious about what they're doing in the church. And it's almost like when God says, when you pray, you don't pray boldly, go in silence and pray. And this is the same thing about how to feed the flock. We are not to go out there and our works will be shown. All we do for the Lord will be shown. And feeding the flock should be one of the things.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel that, you know, through the book of Acts, when you, it's a very powerful thing to continue after reading through the Gospels to jump into the book of Acts, because this is what this is the send off. Mm-hmm. This is taking the mission, the Great Commission, spreading the gospel message. And, you know, the people were astounded by the wisdom that came from simply hanging out with Jesus, that people said to themselves, these are just common men. How do they have this wisdom that they're able to teach like this?
Yes.
They really didn't have any fear of, because they were moved within. I think the key component here, you know, is complacency comes from lack of engagement. Engagement comes when we feel that there is significance in our contribution, and that we have some form of personal meaning to that which we are doing,
right,
to be able to engage people in something bigger than themselves. And so this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Because I just think back to when I gave my life to Christ at 17. I was so entrenched in the world. I mean, it was like party after party after party. I was, depending on how the world judged me at that time, I was, you know, drinking, smoking, I was experimenting. I was lost. And when Jesus got a hold of me, and it was like a Paul Saul conversion, I simply asked him to come in and change my life and help me to want to pursue those things that he wanted me to do in this world.
Yes.
And that's what flipped my whole interior enthusiasm. And enthusiasm, entheos, means in God. So my entheos flipped because the Holy Spirit was occupying the castle.
Yes.
And that's what moved me to want to say, all right, I'm going to work in youth ministry. I want to be able to invite, I want to work in youth and adult ministry, because I cannot contain this inner gift and freedom that is flowing through me. It's intrinsic rather than a to-do list. Right. And acts of service. Without the igniting of the Holy Spirit, it will fall flat and people will burn out.
Yeah. And it also takes that motivation. Some people are complacent, but they're not motivated. And that motivation has to be stimulated by the Holy Spirit a lot of times.
Absolutely.
I think many times we do things for the act of doing it, but our motivation is not there. And that's where you can get the motivation. I would love one day to do some research on how God's Spirit motivates us into action. A powerful research topic that we could go into later.
Because that's what it's all about, sister.
Yes.
Because we are in God. And I speak so personally about this, because I used to curse like a sailor.
Yes.
This is just an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in Long Island, so the F-bomb was like an adjective. It was crazy. And I kid you not, like when I accepted the Holy Spirit, when I accepted the Jesus into my heart and my life and gave him permission to literally clean house, I could not. I just had no desire. It just never happened again. Now there's certain things that are like, okay, we're releasing this immediately. And then there's other things that there's still lessons in. So the Holy Spirit pulls you through that and, so, you know, forms you just like an expert potter and clay, you know, and forms you more into the likeness and image of God as we continue to surrender. But as you said, the Spirit and motivation, because in and of ourselves, we can do nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. God, with Christ, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, not just some things, all things through Christ who gives me strength. And what do you think of this? This is what's coming up for me.
Okay.
So there's lots of ministries within the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God called me to youth ministry, and then I got older into youth and adult ministry. And so I was so called to that, it was a matter of just saying yes, because I was so moved. There was no, it was as if like Jesus gave the parable of the rich man that left and gave talents to everybody, right? So someone took their talent in hand because they were afraid. The other one took two, made it four, 5 to 10.
Right.
And so there were, the owner came back and said, good for you. You were faithful with little, I'll give you more. I wonder if there were, I would think, just as I'm knowing how God just grants us all with different talents and different callings, sometimes we'll jump into somebody else's stage.
Oh, totally.
Do you know what I'm saying? Thinking that's my, I thought that was my ministry. That's not my ministry, because of ego, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's a really successful ministry. So let me jump into that so I can be on that stage.
And that's where the game comes in, the sword game. You know, you don't want to have gain. This is giving back. And with giving back, that you don't want to receive anything necessary, but the blessings from Christ.
Mm.
I think what happens so many times is we get into things because we think we like him and like it. And we also want that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
absolutely
that stage. And what ends up happening is we're not happy. And that happens even in our corporate life. You know, when you're in a corporate situation, you push and push and push for this promotion, and you push for this job, and you're going against what is natural it always seems to sometimes backfire on you because they didn't necessarily want you in there, but they had to put you in there because you pushed so much, and then you're frustrated because you're with a group.
It's not good calibration with talents and job responsibilities.
And so, and even if you have the talents, it may not be the personality mix. So one of the things we need to really step back is and we said this in many Bible studies, is in prayer and supplication, let your request be known by God, because He's the one that can tell you, and you should do this when you're talking about feeding the flock. What ministry, Jesus, do you have for me? Where do you want me to go? How can I be a humble servant? You know, how can I do your work, the work you want me to do? You know, the disciples were chosen and for very specific reasons. Their writings show us that. If you read the Bible, the different writings of the disciples are very specific for different reasons. And that's the same thing with feeding the flock. We need to make sure that we do that in that way. There's also a couple other scriptures to reference. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." So when you feed the flock, you're going to gain too. And that's another way you gain. You gain in knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 23:4 says, "I also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid of hunger, nor be terrified, nor will anything be missing, declares the Lord." So all these scriptures are what we say about what God says about feeding flocks. So this, when it comes, now we're going to move into the action of how do I, as a shepherd, change hearts and minds? Because I truly believe that in order to make change, which, you know, the learning process tells us to do a lot of different things, but unless you have a change component in anything, it doesn't happen. So how do we do that? I find there's three ways we can do that. We can do it in the world, we can do it by faith, and we have to do it through the Gospels. So in the world, we must be ready to receive the world no matter what state it is in of readiness. We need to be ready to receive the world. Acts 17:10-11 says, "Receive the work with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." So we have to be critical thinkers. We have to understand, okay, what is the world, what is feeding the flock mean at this time in the world? What is that? Where does God want me to be? Is it mission work? Is it being helping the homeless? Is it helping the prison ministry? Wherever that is that you want to feed the flock, you need to. Is it the time? Is it where God wants you? Am I a humble servant? We so often look too much on what we're told to do and what we necessarily want to do, and don't research or study what's out there.
Again, it's ego.
It's totally
got out. Right? Got out. It's all about me. This is my show.
I know. So in order to receive,
selling tickets, me, myself, and I.
We have to be ready. And another thing, when I go into a ministry, and I'm sure you've done this, and first of all, I've had experience and see the need. I also pray that I'm humble enough, and I also want to make sure that I'm prepared and do enough research to understand how I can be successful in helping. Because
absolutely,
me being a part, it's almost like, okay, so I've had a drug addict. I was a drug addict, and not me personally, but say if I were a drug addict, and I want to help people with drugs, and I go into the ministry to help people with drugs, but I haven't gone through, I don't know any steps of change. I'm just there to help them to say, oh, I was the next druggie. Well, that's good. And that story is powerful because we all have certain addictions. But what can I do to change this group? How can I, and that's through prayer, and that's through education and understanding and knowledge. And that's how you can go in and make change. So the first thing I think is in the world. The second thing is by faith. We have to return to the faith of the disciples. Oh my God, did the disciples have faith? They left everything they were doing to serve the Lord.
You know, it was interesting because I'm reading through the book of Acts again, and the Holy Spirit's amazing. The Word of God is so alive because I've been reading the book of Acts since I was like 17 and 18, and
it's still, the book of Acts,
popping out. But I'll tell you, the one thing that really stuck with me, I think it's Acts chapter 5, if I can remember right. But the call to 4 and 5, the call to sell everything they had, and they laid the money at the disciples' feet. So when I was listening to that yesterday, I said to Jesus, I'm like, holy cow, Lord, I got a long way to go.
I know. I'm
totally not sold out that much. So, I mean, it's just really, I mean, but again, it's by, so it's giving God permission. Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to sell what I have and give it to the poor? What do you want me to do? And not being afraid to hear the word of God and respond to it. What is Jesus asking you to do with your gifts and talents, your unique gifts and talents? Mm-hmm. And what is he, how is he asking you to share those to strengthen the flock?
Yes.
To be able to make God recognizable, know your gifts and talents. I think, don't you think the first step is really to take some time to identify the gifts that God has given you.
Yeah.
I think that's so important.
I think that's important. I think identifying the gifts, and also understand that he may call you to a ministry where you think you don't have gifts, but he'll give them to you.
Absolutely.
You know, true. I get thrown into something. I'm like, you know, a good example, my daughter and her son moved to Texas. They moved to the Midwest and Wisconsin area near there. Gurnee, Illinois. That's where it was. And I was here alone. And, you know, I had no family in California. I'm very close to my family. And they moved. He had a job opportunity, moved another promotion. And I'm sitting here and I'm like in the church and I'm like, okay, so what do I do? And God called me to the strangest ministry. And that was the ministry to watch children, little kids. And I'm, why am I babysitting? Okay, I am like,
totally get it. Yep. Like,
why are you calling me babysitting? I didn't get it. And it wasn't till after I got involved in it that he was feeling that void that I didn't have for my grandchildren. And I'm like, oh, I get it. I'm like, why? I mean, because everyone's listening. Wouldn't you want to be a greeter? Wouldn't you want to be? I'm like, no, I think for some reason God called me to this. I have no idea. But then later he told me, I may have had some gifts with raising children, but that was years ago. So I had to learn again. Like, okay, here's a diaper, right? Here's
you know, like, okay. Diaper 101 class.
So my point of the matter is sometimes you're called to things that you don't think you have gifts are, or that he has to redevelop them, but they'll come back. Yeah,
absolutely. Again, it's living this surrendered life. Asking the Holy Spirit, show me what my gifts are. And some people will say, well, what does that look like? So just kind of do your own practicum on the next couple of weeks. Watch what lights you up and what comes easy for you. Mm-hmm. And at the end of every day, just simply reflect on what lights me up and what comes easy to me. Right. Our greatest joy is in the measure through which we serve. So how in your serving, whatever it is, perhaps it's even administration skills in the office, that you have the ability to organize things quicker than the average bear. And that's just a gift that you have. Perhaps it's dialogue, dialogos, the flow of meaning. Perhaps you have the ability for conflict resolution above and beyond some of your peers or coworkers. Yeah. So really tune into the next couple of weeks. What are my gifts? Because then you can align. The next step is asking the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to specifically use them professionally and personally?
Mm-hmm. And just know, there were countless examples of this in the Bible that stood the test of time. God says in Romans 14:23, that for whatever it is not formed faith, is sin. So whatever is not in the form of faith is sin. Okay. He also says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith, not by sight. God, how many times have I walked in faith? I have. You know, I've walked into what I feel are storms, and I've gone out. And even when it comes to professing Christ in a group of people that are totally non-believers, and that's walking in faith, because there was something I definitely wanted out of that meeting with those people, but I knew I had to walk in faith and tell them who I was. Mm-hmm. So faith also takes a relationship with God. Faith takes a relationship with God. You know, it must be a relationship of trust. Interesting, right? Trust is important in a relationship, right? And it's a relationship with God. We're putting situations with God that it's hard for us to trust because we can't see. We don't have the sight to necessarily see the outcome, but that's where the faith comes in. So it's important that we trust God, trust him, and have the faith in him.
And it's important. I mean, the definition for trust is to have a firm belief. in the reliability, truth, or ability, or the strength of someone or something. Mm-hmm. It's a firm belief. It's a reliability. It's a strength that comes from believing that something is reliable, good, honest, effective in your daily life. Mm-hmm. And so that trust of God is so, so essential. Not once have I been left empty-handed, yeah. Even going through the eye of the storm of advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. Not once have I been left empty-handed when I have cried out, Lord, help me. Not once in my entire life. I can honestly say that.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I think it's important that, you know, in the steps, you want to make sure that you understand what's in the world for you to do to feed the flock. Mm-hmm. You want to have the faith that you're good.
The relationship. I think that's so important. Like you said, it is relationship and spending time with God, giving God your first fruits rather than the end of the day. Right. When God maximizes your time. I did this in college. Whatever you give to him in the morning, he will maximize your time and ask him to, because it's amazing how that works.
Amazing.
Your first fruits in the morning and say, Father God, I love you so much. I'm putting you first above everything else that I'm doing. Please maximize the work of my hands and heart today.
And the third thing is through the gospel. Okay, so God tells us, and we don't realize it, there's a sense of urgency in feeding.
Amen to that, sister. Okay? Amen to that.
We can't be, we have to be steadfast and do it fast. Mm-hmm. Because
absolutely.
God says,
now's the time.
We don't know the time and the hour when the Son of Man comes back, right? We
Amen.
Don't know. And our works are, there's a sense of urgency in getting the flock. You know, I remember back in the day when television ministers was a thought, right? It wasn't as big as it is. And now it is amazing. I remember the 700 Club when they first started, and God bless them. And even some of the other shows that are on there. Mm-hmm. It was amazing how
WTN.
It was like, okay, this is amazing. The amount of people that now can hear God's word. They're almost everywhere. We've almost gone to the ends of the earth where almost everyone can hear God's word. Mm-hmm. The sense of urgency now, it's important that we do this diligently and really work to do some works in feeding his flock. Because I am of the belief that it won't be that much longer before the Son of Man comes back. We don't know the time and the hour, but we do have some signs. So I think feeding the flock and knowing the gospels, doing his work now is more important than ever.
Absolutely. I feel like a wake up in the call in the church is just massive. I mean, the St. Francis is so huge and just on evangelization and getting the personal relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth into the hearts of the churches. And growing up as a Protestant and falling in love with Jesus at 17 and then jumping into the Catholic Church, in my early 20s and getting involved with ministry there, that was difficult for me, to be honest with you, because I was looking for the support that I got when I was, you know, going to the community churches, and I even went to a Baptist church for a while and wherever Jesus was calling me. And then I was invited to the table in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because the evangelization is really kicking in everywhere. I mean, it is, you know, it is on fire to spread the gospel and personal relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And John Paul II was massive on that as well. And that really lit me up because it is all about waking up. Now is the hour. Now is the time. What work does God have for you to do?
Yes.
Right where you're at with your gifts and your talents to spread the gospel message of salvation for the sake of salvation to the ends of the world.
It's so important. It's so important. So we'll leave you all with just some action items to just make sure you try to figure out where you are asked to call. And that takes being involved in a personal relationship with Christ. You need to get with him and understand, where does he want you to feed the flock? You also need to make sure that you have faith in him and trust that where he sends you is where he wants you to be. And you'll know. You may not know right away, but it'll start fall into place, and it'll be simple, because many times we try to go into areas that they're not simple, and that should be also a wake-up call that may not be where he wants to be. Now, I say that with caution. Many times the works that we have to do are hard work. You know, we're going to have tribulation and trials through that work, but it's probably where he wants you to be as well. And also use the Gospels and remember that in the Gospel, there is a sense of urgency in feeding the flock. And this is our time to do that. And I think in this, the way this chaos in the world is now, is ever so important for us to feed the flock right now and have a sense of urgency when we do this.
And so, know that you have significance, meaning, and God's love, and God loves and adores you. Amen. You have significance, meaning, and God loves and adores you. And so to lean into that and to ask the Holy Spirit to show you your gifts and talents and who, where, when, and how. Father God, do you want me to use these gifts and talents Amen. That you bless me with to light up the world and to spread the gospel message of freedom? Yes. Set your people free just like I was set free. Amen. Thanks be to God.
So let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, I would love for you to give us all an opportunity to understand where you would like us to feed the flock. You know, there are all forms of work in the church, healing, ministering, teaching. Lord, just lead us to where you would have us be. And let not our flesh be our guide, but the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask for the sense of urgency of doing that. You know, we want to change things in this world, and we want to do it through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. We don't want to be casual observers, but we want to be personally involved. So I ask that you give us the skill sets we need. Let us acknowledge and bring those forward so that we can do your will and do your acts. I ask this Bible study be a blessing for someone that needs it, and they're able to move into action mode, Lord, in your word and in the feeding of the flock. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining us today, guys. Remember to pause in your transitions and simply continue to ask, what would you have me do in this next moment of life that you bless me with to make you more recognizable? Give them heaven. God Amen. Bless you guys.
Bye-bye.